Struggles.
Innovation.
Going all in.
Not holding back.
Mindset.
Being a leader.
Paving their own way.
Putting the real in real estate.
Listing legacies. Selling luxury. You have The Vault.
Unlocking conversations in real estate today.
We're live with The Vault. I'm your host, Jessica Hastings Lesbront, and let me introduce my wonderful co-host, Alexa Miller. Alexa, who do we have on the show today?
Hi, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of The Vault. Today, I'm really excited to welcome our guest, Melanie Turner. Welcome, Melanie, and we'll just get started with you telling us a bit about yourself.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate you inviting me on. So again, like I said, my name is Melanie Turner. I am currently working as a real estate clerk for Shankar Professional Corporation based out of Owen Sound. I am also run a private conveyancing business where I work real estate for several other law firms, mostly located in Northern Ontario. I have an undergraduate degree from the University of Ottawa in political science with a minor in philosophy, and I have a Bachelor of Laws from the University of London in England.
Wow.
I love it. I love how educated you are. I love how their philosophy is in there too. That's my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you're in Owen Sound. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, where are you from?
So I grew up in Norfolk County, so that's Port Dover, Ontario, and then my husband works for Ontario Power Generation, so I've had the joys of moving across the province. I've been based out of Sarnia, and then we were as far as Cochrane, Ontario, and now we're back down as close as we could get back to our original home base, based out of here, out of Grey County.
Oh, that's awesome. Out of all those moves, which would be your favorite, would you say?
Oh, here. Absolutely. Yeah. Like it's, you know, you have to reinvent yourself every time you move. Everything I've learned, every process, everywhere I've gone, like I've had the opportunity to work for different law firms, different areas of practice, and I've grown and learned from each opportunity. But here, you know, we've made a lot more of connections. I feel like it's going to be home opposed to the other moves where I've been kind of all over the place. And it was just kind of a temporary hold till the next move. So it's been great here.
Yeah. And you have two kids too. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've got two kids, my son Morgan, who is 12 in grade 7, and my daughter Willow, who is 10 in grade 5.
Wow. Those are fun ages though.
Oh, they're great. You know, like you're just watching them grow and learn. It's just, it's really fantastic. It's a great, great ages to be at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is wonderful. Can we jump into your real estate for Shankar Law? I know they have multiple offices, very well-known, reputable company. Talk a little bit about your role in that office with real estate.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So I've been working in the area of law for the past 17 years. So at Shankar, he's brought me in. I've taken over his entire real estate for Gray Bruce. We also service clients as far, you know, we work in Toronto. We work almost all over the province where our clients require us to be. We have offices in Port Elgin, Owen Sound, and in Wyarton, providing convenience to all clients wherever they're located. So the focus is real estate, but I also provide assistance with respect to his estate, corporate, and sometimes his family law practice where I have to fill in the blanks when he needs me to.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's such a dynamic role. So you have that entire department. Is that what you mean with the real estate and Gray Bruce?
Absolutely. So I am his sole clerk in that department. And it most of the time is a very manageable area of practice. I can manage the number of clients. During COVID, you guys can speak to that. It was a lot, the number of transactions that were happening at that time. So it was a little bit overwhelming, but otherwise, based on the practice he runs, it's pretty manageable to meet all of the clients' needs.
Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
You're such an inspiration, Mel, because you work for such a large company, and then you have your own private business, and you have kids with a wonderful husband. You know, talk about a mom boss. That's the definition of that.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. And I like to surround myself with women that kind of have the same sort of goals that I do. And that's, why we've become friends and why I've met so many people in the real estate area, because we share such a passion for what we do and the love of it and, the strength and the drive. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, I know when we have conversation, it's nice because we can keep up with each other.
Yeah.
Finding someone with that passion that wants to sit and not just like glaze over when I talk about mortgages and real estate and all of that sort of thing. It makes it a lot more fun.
Which is commonly our husbands.
Yes.
That's funny. Can you jump in a little bit about your private business? I've always been intrigued to learn a little bit more about that too.
So I started when I moved to Northern Ontario. We were in Cochrane. I was working for a firm called Mendoza Law Professional Corporation. So she her name is Lucy Mendoza. She's a fantastic lawyer. So she was running a practice, and then on the side, I also worked for Barrazzutti's. Well, Lisa Barrazzutti. She was just Barrazzutti at that time. She's ex since expanded to Barrazzutti Stribo. So I provided real estate for both of them. And then when I moved here to Gray County, finding qualified clerks is not always the easiest thing to do. So they didn't want to see me go. So we entered into a independent private contract business where I provide conveyancing work for them on the side beyond my regular work here at Shankar Law. And then over the years, based on reputation, it's expanded. I've had three other practices reach out to me, and I work for them as well. The latest one that I started working for is Borden Kelly, the Kelly Borden, lawyer, Jeronis Borden Kelly Lawyers. I was going to get there. And I also do their real estate practice. They're mostly a personal injury firm, but have a smaller real estate practice on the side. So it's those smaller firms that reach out. I've also provided coverage for a couple other firms when their clerks have been unavailable. So it's kind of been a really It's a, an ego boost a tiny bit that these firms have reached out to me based on my reputation and my quality of work to ask me to provide assistance to their firms.
How do you have the time for all this?
Every time
Like,
I see her, she's like head in the
oh my
box.
God. I know, like, we obviously have an idea of what you do behind the scenes. So, as you're saying what you do, I'm looking at Jess like, what?
I know.
How?
It's exhausting. Like I said, during COVID, it was the absolute worst. I think I ran the numbers because I have to do this for my taxes every year, and I was closing like 500, 450 real estate transactions a year during COVID, which was beyond, like I honestly believe I can say I've found my capacity. That's about as far as I could go. Now, this year, as things have slowed down a little bit, I have, I can take a whole day off on the weekend where I'm not working, but it's a very, I have a type A personality, so I'm good with structure and time and deadlines. So, I'm up in the morning at 4. I'm a morning person, so I work till then, and then I go into the office, and then if necessary, I'll work a little bit in the evenings, but I try to cut that out for, family purposes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of laughing because when we put a lawyer review in our deals, smell on the other end.
Yes, for sure it
And I
is.
truly appreciate it. You know what? Since we had our last conversation there at your firm, I know I've had a couple of your agents reach out, and we've provided guidance with them and worked with them for transactions. You guys have referred so many clients to us, which we truly appreciate because the people that we work with aren't just the absolute best.
Yeah.
Well, and we appreciate like when we can call somebody at the law firm, whether it's the clerk, the lawyer themselves, like, and have transparency and have help from you guys, like that is massive. So, we have, well, personally, I have a very short list of law firms that I
You trust,
that we
yeah.
trust. Yeah, because
Absolutely. And that's how
some
it
don't.
has to be viewed, right? It has to be viewed as like a conjunctive working environment because we're all working for the same goal. You know, we want to get our person into the house. We want to get our client to sell the house in the best possible manner. So transparency is important and understanding is important. And you know what? The intricacies that is real estate, it's beyond what people understand, right? There's so many elements that have to have knowledge, and so it can't be expected that one person should stand alone and know all of that. So working together is the best possible way to achieve those goals.
Love
Makes
that.
sense. And
Yep. For me, it makes me feel more comfortable that I know other hands are on it that are the
Yes.
professional, correct hands,
Yes.
right?
Yeah, I completely agree. And your firm is your practice is great, that you guys keep up to date, your brokerage keeps you informed. And Jess and I always have these conversations about the changes that are happening and how that affects our clients. So, you know, having those discussions both from the real estate end and the lawyers end, you, makes us more knowledgeable.
Oh, 100%. I love, you know, when you presented here and you shared some good insights on case studies, like those were eye openers.
Yep. Just letting you know where, like from your perspective, where you need to be, what you need to be thinking about, just even small details, like asking the client their residency. Those are things that don't necessarily always come to the forefront of your mind when you're drafting documents because they're not right there. But just having that simple conversation provides everybody a level of protection.
Yeah, 100%. What would you say that you're seeing a lot in the industry right now? Like, I know, you know, like the interest rates were held today, but what are you seeing on your end?
It's slower. And I think you'll talk to a lot of firms, and I've even seen blogs and conversations that I follow. It's just files aren't as smooth as they once were a little bit. We're running into a lot more difficulties, problems that are popping up because of the environment that the market is in right now. But it's slower, which is fine. You know, I was reading just the other day, they were talking about, I suspected they were going to hold the interest rate. And I was reading a whole explanation blog about why they were expected to do that, and that how they're not anticipating that the market's going to start to come back until July, August, which will make for a slower spring. But, you know, if it's going to fight the inflation and kind of get us back into a better position, then that's the best course of action, I guess.
Well, we have to have a positive mindset. And I love that. And it also gives us time to do paperwork.
Yeah, right. Get caught up on everything.
Yeah, revamp our systems and all that good stuff. Yeah. I'm dying to know, can you give us a little story time or insight onto what your most challenging file has been in your career, in your very long career?
I've done one recently, and I don't even know whether I'm going to say that because it was... We were dealing with complications about a private sale. So real estate agents weren't involved. So it was individuals negotiating back and forth between the two of them, which isn't always the best course of action. Sometimes it's better to have an independent buffer in between clients. So they were texting each other from behind the scenes and then relaying information to their lawyers. Yeah. There was complications with the transaction with the vendor owning solar panels, and he wanted to retain the rights to the solar panels. So we're negotiating easements and rights of way. And, you know, our clients didn't really want to keep in line with that. And it just, it took us, the agreement was supposed to close in January, and it took us till the end of March to finally find a reasonable solution for both the parties to kind of come to an end. Like, there were multiple instances where they're like, nope, we're done, let's go to litigation, and the lawyers were able to work conjunctively back and forth and kind of reel our clients back in. And at the end of the day, my clients were fantastic. They decided that they really wanted the property, and they came to an understanding about what it was going to be involved in, and we were able to kind of come to an understanding. But it's just setting expectations that is the hardest part, and being very realistic with the clients, even though they might not want to hear that at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, and it's bringing them back to the purpose. Like, we can get off track with, you know, the color of this and that thing of wood, like, you know, the minor areas. And it's when we bring them back to purpose. And then I love when you say litigation, you're going to go in, it's money, it's time. And then it usually takes some kind of like snap out of it for a minute.
100%. Is this the element that you want to, you know, is this what you want to drive forward? And do you want to pay a lawyer so much money? There's definitely circumstances that arise in a transaction where that is a possibility. 100%. I've seen it. Litigation is the only option in those circumstances when there has been a fundamental breach of the contract. Absolutely. But the little fine details, it's understanding that when you sign an agreement of purchase and sale, you're entering into a binding contract. There's no room for second guessing. You know, you can't enter into that agreement lightly, and the courts are going to hold you to that. So those little tiny details are not basis in which you can walk away.
Yeah, it's true. That's why we always review as often as we can. We call and ask questions.
Oh, yeah.
I actually love, because you painted the picture really well of, you know, how lawyers and yourself, the law clerks in the background, what you're all doing, because, you know, you said that was going to close in January. and it went over and past that, but the amount of work and communication behind the scenes is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've talked about this before in terms of setting deadlines and expectations for clients, because say when you're purchasing a transaction, there's so many third parties that are involved in the actual closing of the agreement, from your real estate agents to your mortgage companies to, you know, appraisers and all of this. So in a lot of circumstances, we're relying on third parties to get us what we need. And then it's relaying all that information in a manageable, understandable way to the client so they know what they're getting into. So, you know, when you have people coming to us and they're going, well, we want to close tomorrow, it's, you know, we have to set realistic expectations about the amount of work involved.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's going over those pros and cons of representing yourself to using a realtor as well, right? Like, we hear horror stories too. And then you feel bad. You're like, oh, if they only use a licensed realtor, maybe that might not happen.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Like we were talking about before, basically, the four corners of the document are your contract. So if you haven't done all your proper due diligence and discussions with a professional to understand what your rights are, there's, by the time it crosses our desk, sometimes there's not a whole lot we can do to undo those smaller problems.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And then we're in a pickle.
Mm-hmm. And then we're in a pickle. And you're like advising them of the reality of their circumstances. And then people are disappointed, right? So instead of trying to forego that extra expense, having a qualified real estate agent guiding you through that process and reviewing with legal counsel, which is absolutely their right to do, can make sure that when you do sign the agreement that you're completely satisfied and know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people don't realize that. I've had so many clients say to me, well, just put a home inspection condition. And then if I back out for any other reason, we have a condition so I can get out of the deal. Yeah. I'm like, that is not how this works.
Yeah. Nope. That is not your like get out of jail free card. It's, you know, good faith. There's good faith. And I, you know, we've talked about it before with inspections. There's a little bit more freedom to the way those are usually drafted in sole opinion. There's a little bit more freedom if there is an issue with the home that way. You know, it's very case specific, and anybody that rises those issues should consult legal counsel. But you know, if like you can't, it's just not how it works. It's
no true. And they just don't understand, and then you have to sit down and be like, no guys, like this isn't how this works. When you sign this, like it's a big deal.
You're all in. This is you saying I'm all in to purchase, barring something like, you know, I genuinely cannot secure financing, or there is a genuine structural or issue with the home that I'm not willing to take on and they're not willing to fix, which happens. Exactly. That happens. Yeah. But you have to go in with the mindset that you are going to purchase this home. So due diligence up front is really important.
100%.
Yeah. Actually, that just reminded me. So during COVID, we saw a lot of contracts, of course, where there were no conditions because we were seeing multiple offers. Are you seeing or hearing about a lot of litigation now from offers?
Yeah, absolutely. You see, I think when you read out, there's a lot of that coming out from those like pre-construct homes where they're entering into the contract during COVID and then now trying to buy. So they have appraisal issues and things like that from a financing perspective. We're also seeing litigation now where people are, you know, over defects of the home that are giving raise, and they're actually learning that unfortunately that concept of buyer beware is very, very real. And when you waived your right or didn't put in a condition of inspection, you're kind of agreeing that you're accepting, you know, with certain stipulations that you're going to assume the problems that arise from that home. And, you know, during COVID, we saw the no financing conditions and things like that, where I had clients scrambling to come up with difference in money because they just, they weren't prepared that maybe the home wasn't going to be appraised for as much as the house sold for, because that was a major issue, right? Because people were overbidding. But actual value of the house wasn't necessarily there. So people are scrambling to find the shortfall that they're encountering. And we would never, ever guide our client that if you're getting financing, there should be a financing condition that you should have a lender specifically look at the transaction and say, yes, I will fund this deal. And this is how much I will give you. It's the only way to go.
Yeah, 100%. So I'd say if there's any new realtors out there, Mal just touched on like 10,000 tips there. But the one it's good takeaway is having good faith and understanding when you're using your conditions and they exit, it needs to be because of that condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. The value of your conditions. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's surprising too how many people, and realtors, I've seen this time and time again from other realtors where they will come in firm and I'll question, you know, okay, so what's their financing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they need financing, but like they're pre-approved. I'm sorry.
No,
that's not how this works.
No, not how this works at all.
Oh, it's so bad. Like it is scary actually. Cause it's just like, you're asking for your client to get sued when this doesn't happen.
And the thing is, we know that ask those questions where newer realtors, sometimes I find don't, and then you hear the story after and a deal falls through and they can be on the other end of it too. Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And this is why real estate agents, they need to be in their brokerage. They need to be supported by their brokerage. They need to be able to ask questions to their brokerage. I know you guys offer continuing education. Like it's staying in touch with the people that are representing you to ensure that they're relaying all the proper information to their clients.
Yeah,
for sure. I had a mortgage broker actually one time tell clients of mine to go in firm because we were in competition. And I said to them, what's your financing status, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, she said we can go in firm, but you know, we still need to get firm approved and we need an appraisal and all that. And she told them that if they essentially the appraisal came back bad or not high enough, that they would basically nothing happens and they get their deposit back.
What?
I was like, what? I literally got in a fight with this mortgage broker and I was like, I had to force these people not to offer on this house and they were mad at me. They were upset with me.
Yeah, but that just
That's fantastic. Like, cause we're going to come across that in our field. You're going to come across bad lawyers. You're going to come across bad real estate agents, bad brokers. Like it's just anywhere you work, you're going to come across it, but it's when you're diligent that you're going to be able to protect those clients. And that's, and yourself at the end of the day, right? Because you're the one that's standing before them and saying, listen, I'm going to guide you through this process. And staying strong in your understanding is one of the biggest things I've learned over my career. One is to trust my instincts because, you know, after a long time, you're like, you know what? Something feels off. Mm-hmm. I've learned to be like, no, let's pause and take a look at that. And two, it's to follow the procedure that I've developed and put in place for each and every file. You know, like there is a process that I do to ensure that everything is done correctly and on time and not to deviate from that when someone is trying to push something sooner. There can't be any shortcuts because there's no room for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Don't deviate. Stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone shouldn't be able to question you from what you know. You know what you need to do. You know what the legalities are. You know what your procedure has to be. You shouldn't have to shortcut that because somebody else is, you know, they have their own timeline and urgency. That's not how it works because that's when mistakes happen. And we've all seen it and we've all made mistakes in our lives, but it's reminding ourselves to slow down, double check, reread.
Absolutely. Yep. So 17 years in the business, you've closed many transactions year over year. What would you say your biggest success so far is?
So under Mr. Shankar's guidance, we have been able to expand into more of the commercial field. So I've been working with clients for corporate share transfers and sales businesses, which has been an absolute pleasure because they are larger transactions. You're working more in depth with the client and your accountants and the other lawyer to come to an end. And it's been just an amazing learning experience, kind of expanding my practice in that sort of direction. So I'd like to see more of that come through. And you know, I enjoy that element, you know, beyond our standard. I love standard real estate transaction. And I love nothing more than to call my client at the end of the day and be like, congratulations, the house is yours. Like, I love that phone call. They're always so appreciative and excited. So that element is great. But, you know, learning and expanding is what I love to do.
That's cool.
I love that.
Then what would be the opposite, your biggest struggle?
Oh, my biggest struggle. That is
it's like, I don't have a struggle. I'm so good at my job.
It's just, I don't even know what my burger, it's just the amount of work. There's always stuff to be done, right? Like you're constantly, even when you're down and you're spending time with your kids, and I'm sure both of you can attest to this, it's always being like, ooh, I didn't email that person. Ooh, I got to do that. Right. Ooh, I've got to do that. Like constantly. And that's you know, trying to stop myself from being like, okay, I need to stop for just half a second and focus on what I'm doing right now and then get back to it. Setting, you know, restrictions for myself, I think, is my biggest struggle.
Yeah. I find myself feeding my daughter in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my God, I need to send that email and I'll send it.
Me too.
Exactly. You do that. And that's sort of the downside of technology now, right?
Because yeah,
it's so easy to grab your phone, send an email out and be like, okay, it's dealt with. But it's troubling in the sense that setting expectations for clients, because when lawyers and real estate agents, when we email and do all of those things well beyond standard business hours, then it creates a precedent. And then it's difficult to kind of reel them back in when you're like, well, no, I did that as an exception.
Totally. Yeah. That's one thing. That's one of my struggles, actually. I've had to set boundaries before. Yeah. It's hard because we it's do hard. That, like, you know,
Well, especially for you guys, because you guys provide services outside of your standard hours. Like the expectation is, you know, if your client wants to meet on a weekend, you're going to do that. So how do you guys carve out time for yourselves?
Yeah,
it is hard. Like the amount of offers I've dealt with in the middle of, not the middle of the night, but in the evening, like I've been up till one, I think 1 a.m. is the latest I've been up dealing with a offer situation. Yeah. Like it's wild.
Yeah. I think my first house, my husband always jokes about our very first house. We were sitting in the real estate agent's office until about midnight. And he was like falling asleep in the chair, waiting for the emails to go back and forth about the offer, about what everybody was going to accept. And a relative norm, because it's very important to everybody and you guys are put in a position where you're going to have to, you know, ride the wave with the client.
Well, it's time frames too, right? Or your vocable is like, oh my God, all right, we have to do this.
Or if there's multiple of you that want the house, it's got, you know, you got to do it that day.
How bad do you want it?
Which was, I imagine, pretty challenging for you guys during COVID with the number of offers that were rolling through and how time sensitive they were.
It was the wild, wild west.
It was.
We made it, but it was crazy.
I would also wonder, do you see being a lawyer in your future?
I was going to ask that. I'm like, she should be a lawyer.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? How many times I hear that. And I know the people that I work on contract for would hate to see that happen, because I work with some of the most incredible lawyers, like people that I can call up at any point in time if I don't know anything in any other area of law in which they practice and ask a question, and they're like right there. It's a wonderful community to be a part of. I absolutely have a plan of being a lawyer in the future. What I'm doing right now is very much working for my lifestyle. So I have the 9-to-5, and Mr. Shankar is an incredible person to work for, and he's very, you know, accommodating. And then my side hustle allows me to set my own timelines for that and generate more income. So it's working. The amount of, I've got a little bit of work left to do before I become a lawyer myself, but you know, once the kids are a little bit more settled and need me a little bit less, I can redirect my attention.
Yeah. I like how you worded that, working for your lifestyle.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. You know, what, self-employed, there's benefits for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What, I'm interested, what made you want to get into law?
Do you remember when they changed the program in high school? They had, like, they introduced a civics and like a politics course, like, or civics was the politics, and then they did something else. There was a dual part. And I remember first doing that course, and we did like a mock trial, and I loved it. I loved the politics portion of it. I loved the mock trial of it all. I just found a passion for politics. Ultimately, I had originally wanted to go in politics and policy development. That was kind of the goal. And but then, you know, life happens. You meet your significant other, you have kids, things change. And I started my career working for a criminal defense attorney. She gave me a shot, which was fantastic. And then from there, I started working for a lawyer. His name is Albert Smelko. He's since retired. And he found a spark in me. And he was like, listen, you've got to go to school. I want you to take over my practice. This is where I want us to go together. And I was like, okay. So I went to law school, but, you know, life changed and we moved away and it didn't work out exactly as planned, but I don't regret any of it. Like the amount of things that I have learned and the amount of services that I can provide to our clients based on my experience and knowledge is just, there's nothing that can compete with that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so clear. We have a couple minutes left, but I do want to slip in this last question here. What do you feel you would tell your past self just starting in your career? Because 17 years is incredible.
Be just keep trying, keep moving, keep learning, trust yourself, because there is a million things that I think about, like in past transactions, because you always, as you learn new things. So the Law Society provides all these opportunities for these courses that we take. And here at Shankar Law, he's constantly providing opportunities for us to grow and learn more. And you learn new things and you're like, oh man, if I knew that before,
yeah,
I might have done something different. But it's just to keep growing. I think that's what it is. It's just to remind myself that, you know, all the hard work that you're putting in, especially when I was, you know, working and going to law school and raising kids, there was a purpose, there was a goal in mind. And I'm so grateful for everything that I've learned and all the opportunities that I've had.
Yeah, that's incredible. Love it. It's so inspiring.
Yeah.
So where can everyone find you, Mel, if they want to reach out?
Okay, so we're happy to service the Grey Bruce area, where you can contact me at Shankar Law Office. I'm primarily based out of our Owen Sound office, but I travel to all of the offices whenever anybody needs me. So if you're looking for real estate, corporate, estate, civil litigation, or family law, we're happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. This was a great, great.
I really appreciate it. I was really looking forward to it. We tried to do it about a month and a half ago, and it just, the timing didn't work out. So I'm really glad that this one did.
We'll have to have you on again in like the top 7 tips.
I know. I wanted to ask so many questions, but I'm like, we're on a time limit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Let me know. We'll schedule something, what you guys are looking for, because it's a blast talking with you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Vault. You can find us on Instagram at The Vault Podcast and on all podcast platforms.
See you next episode.